Ripple Effect. This is the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth. A nonprofit organization established in 2007 to provide powerful leadership training to the youth of our communities. And now, here's your host, by board member, co-owner of Rapport International, and certified trainer, Brett Johnston.
Hello, and welcome back to the Empowering Youth Podcast. I'm Brett Johnston.
I'm Jeff Catano.
And I'm JJ Chinowski.
And tonight we have Caden Mickelson here with us, and he is here to tell his story. And Caden, just so everybody knows, is 30 years old today. Well, now he's 30 years old. And he is one of those rare opportunities we have to talk to someone that went to class as a teenager, yet went to the adult class as a teenager. We had a college age class for, you know, kids that were college age. So at 18 years old, Caden got to go to our young adult class. So welcome.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
No, we've been excited to have you on because this is going to be different because we've yet to have someone on that was a teenager and got to experience an adult level class. Most of the guests we have on are our teen leadership breakthrough graduates. And, when we started doing the young adult class, you know, the college age class, the tough part about that class is it's such a small demographic of kids that are already on their own.
Yeah.
You know, they're already living life.
Yeah.
So it's really the adult class, but it's tailored to that age group, right? So it's they get to, you know, write more personal things versus business things.
Yep.
So it's very tailored. So it is a little bit of a hybrid class from the teen class to the adult class, missing out on some of the processes the teens do, but nonetheless impactful. But, you know, excited to have you on. Share with us, you know, start wherever you want, but we're excited to hear your story tonight.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. I guess I'll start with going to the class.
Why don't you start back in your childhood? Let's hear about your childhood. Where'd you grow up? What was childhood like? You know, family, time, friends, all that kind of stuff.
So I grew up here in Utah. My mom is from Roy. My dad is from North Ogden area. They met pretty young. My mom had me when she was 16 or 17. So we kind of bounced around a lot, you know, young mom. Unfortunately, my parents didn't really end up working out. And she ended up meeting my now stepdad, who loved to death. He joined the Navy. And so we bounced around a lot as a kid. You know, I lived in Utah, California, and Washington State until he got out of the Navy, and then we came home. So that puts me back here around fifth grade.
Yeah.
Sixth grade.
Wow.
So a lot of life already and a little bit of, perspective by the time you were in fifth grade.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
How far back do you remember as far as that breakup? Did that affect you as
my parents? No, it happened before I could even remember anything. Right. So for my earliest memories, my stepdad was my dad.
Awesome.
You know, he was cool. That's like when things started really coming into
bonus
perspective.
Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool dude. I love him to death.
What's his name?
Travis.
Travis. Awesome.
Yeah. So
he's way to go, Travis.
Yes.
Yeah. Honestly, he's been really impactful in my life in so many ways. So, like you said, lived a lot of life already. It was pretty weird. I still remember because when I was in, coming back from California, we were getting ready to start junior high. Or what do they call it? Middle school there?
Middle school, yeah.
Then we came here and I was back in elementary for another year.
Yeah, because when you're there, you'd be going into middle school.
Yeah,
and you come back here and it's like, wait a minute, I got another year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was like prepared to start going into being a young adult and then back to elementary school, you know, really weird feeling.
Yeah.
So you're an only child?
That's a long story and we could honestly waste the whole podcast talking about it, but I'm one of eight.
Wow.
And so.
Yeah.
I'm the oldest with my mom.
Okay.
But my dad had two other ladies. Well, three others now. So.
Okay.
We have a pretty large family.
It's a blended family.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nothing nuclear about it.
How many
yeah, yeah.
How many stops do you have on Christmas?
Fortunately, I don't have any, but.
Yeah.
My dad had a lot, so.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So fifth grade came back.
So when you moved back to Jeff Friends.
No,
yeah,
no, it took a long time to, really try to develop that. You know, as a kid, you have all these people who've grown up with each other at this point their entire lives. So it's, they're not used to outsiders and they're not used to infiltrators coming in, right? And that's kind of the way they look at you for a couple of years. It wasn't really until probably high school that I started feeling like I belonged here. Mm. Right.
And so it was pretty rough through junior high too.
Yeah. I had friends, people were nice, but I just never felt like
accepted.
Connection. Yeah.
Yeah. So did you have any friends in junior high?
Yeah. 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 I had quite a few. There were a lot of good people, you know, in this area who they're always nice. They always went out of their way to make sure I felt like I was being included, but there's just, you know,
you just weren't there
surface yet. Level friendships. And then there's like, you really connect with somebody. And that didn't happen for me until actually I met Clayton in high school. So.
Yeah. And we I shared with you, we had Clayton on and got to hear his story you know, what a life already. Which is why we're so excited to have you on. Cause I know you're a big part of that, but when you move back and you don't have friends, that's a lonely place to be, not feeling accepted, the lack of, you know, connection, even some of the love. I'm sure you had the love at home.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things you constantly internalize.
Yeah.
And until you work through that, which requires other people as well, but it required a lot of shifting on your part. And one of the questions I want to ask you is, do you think that it took you so long because you were moving around growing up that you would meet people and then move and then meet people and then move to stick with people here?
So yeah, I've done a lot of self-reflection on this. And I think because we move so often, we usually only stayed in a place for 18 months to 2 years.
Yeah.
And so we weren't really anywhere long term. So I got really good at making friends, but not really good at developing beyond, hey, my name's Caden, we're friends.
Yeah.
Now what do I do? Right. Now we talk, but what do you do after that?
Because you're leaving soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what kept you busy? Were you in sports at that time or soccer?
Sure. Yeah. I jumped around. I tried playing football.
You didn't try.
You played football.
I'm going to get
true.
You.
Yeah. Right, fair. Yeah. Yeah. It's been a while. Played football. Didn't really make that work. Tried baseball.
Played baseball.
Thank you.
Didn't really make that work either. So I ended up landing on lacrosse and I played lacrosse for 12 years, I think.
And that was early on in lacrosse. That was before lacrosse. Yeah. I mean, everybody's familiar with it now. That was pre. That's when lacrosse wasn't even a sanctioned sport in high school.
So did you dive into those? I mean, football and lacrosse, that was your thing.
For sure. Yeah. I played football in Washington in California. I did taekwondo in California. And then we moved here and I was trying to find my spot. Finding my spot.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't, you know, making it click anywhere. And my neighbor, actually, his brother was not one of the first people, but early generation of lacrosse in this area. So at that time, they really struggled to even get a varsity team together for a club. And then his brother joined shortly after. And it was so long ago that at that time, to get varsity, I was playing in junior high and they pulled me up to go play.
Wow.
As varsity a red level. Shirt.
Yeah.
Like it was all club level. It didn't exist inside the school. It was, it was a club sport.
Okay.
Yeah. We weren't allowed to technically be affiliated with the school.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
in high school, as you look back, if you were to describe yourself, personality, qualities, traits, you know, strengths, weaknesses, how would you describe yourself?
I was a half decent student.
Okay.
Loved lacrosse, loved my friends, but was incredibly shy, insecure.
So not very outgoing.
No. I knew everybody because everybody knows everybody, but if you didn't come talk to me, I wasn't at all pushing myself to come talk to you either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, saw the pretty girls and I wouldn't talk to them, too scared. Saw the cool people that I thought maybe I'd want to be friends with, but
yeah,
they didn't ever make the effort, so I wasn't ever going to bridge that gap either.
Yeah.
You know, but I was friendly as far as when you talk to me, but other than that, I kind of stuck with my own little crowd and never ventured out of that. I wasn't adventurous in any sense.
What do you think? What do you think brought that on and caused that? You know, now that you're so much further along in your life, going through the class, having all these life experiences, looking back, you know, to when you were that age and you were fairly reserved, you have any idea of what might have been getting you to that point?
I don't know. I think a lot of it was I hadn't found myself yet. And how do you go and meet people when you don't even know who you are yet? Mm-hmm. You know, my personality at the time was almost like changing jackets. I didn't know which one would fit the mood, which one would fit
the... A little bit of a chameleon.
Yeah. You got to try everything on, right?
You got to test drive all the cars to figure out which one you want.
And when you're not comfortable, you know, you're looking in the mirror and you're like, man, this one's too big. Then you're not really feeling like that comfortable going out and talking to people when you don't feel like you're dressed best or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. So in that way, my personality just, I didn't know where I was at in life.
So you work through junior high and you get into high school, and that's when things really, you know, some things changed.
Yeah.
So tell us about high school.
It was what, homecoming game or something like that, freshman year. And I met Clayton, and honestly, that was a huge pivotal moment for me because, I met him and he was just my best friend from that moment on. So it was really awesome.
What made that click? Just
honestly, so I seen him in junior high. We had talked briefly, but for whatever reason, we were sitting at this game, completely didn't know each other. I asked if I could sit next to him and he just started chatting with me. Super nice. The next thing I knew, he invited me to go swimming and we were inseparable all throughout all of high school after
that. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. The Two Stooges.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome.
So you worked through school. How did you show up in high school? Once you get a solid friend like that, what started to change for you? Did anything change?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've started finding a lot more confidence. Before that, I was not a very good student. I did just enough to get by. I don't even know if I was getting 3 O's at the time, barely, maybe like 2 8s or something, right?
Yeah.
Then I met Clayton. He was driven. He was smart. He's outgoing. And that really pushed me because I saw in him a lot of the traits that I wanted to have. And so it pushed me to go outside of my boundaries and really explore some of those things. And after that, I started becoming a 4.0 student. I started getting more involved in like clubs and stuff at school. Really started to push myself to find a career path. So I started actually pushing more towards an engineering degree in high school. So I took all engineering geared classes.
So I got to stop because at Building Utah Youth, we've said this, I think, you know, been on the board for 14 years and we always talk about your 5 closest friends. It could be just one good friend.
Yeah.
The people you hang out with are not where you are becoming. It's who you are.
Yeah.
And be careful, like your spouse or your friends, because you're only as good as those friends. And you gave me chills because I'm like, I hope people are going to rewind this. And if you could say something to the audience, be real selfish on the people you hang out with.
I couldn't agree more. As you know, my whole life experience at this point, I would say the biggest failure I've seen from people being successful to not being successful in any form of the word is their friends.
Yeah.
The company you choose to keep is powerful.
Do you remember when Clayton went to class?
Yeah.
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 Remember when he came home from class?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Cause he was already, I mean, already an enthusiastic person, right?
Yeah.
But it just raised the bar.
Oh, he was like Superman after that,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Superman. That's right. So let's fast forward. You work your way through high school. How did you end up in high school?
Good. You know, I still was a little floater kind of towards the end. I didn't know quite what I wanted to do. I thought I wanted to do something with engineering. But my senior year, I could have graduated early, but I chose not to. I wanted to walk with my class.
Yeah.
So my last year I did a bunch of just throwaway classes, or so I thought. And I ended up doing all these business classes. And so I had a lot of the same teachers just over and over again, and they more or less twisted my arm and made me join this group called DECA.
Nice.
And just on a whim.
What does DECA stand for?
I have no idea.
You don't remember?
No.
What do they do though? I know the name. And
me too.
Many people do. I just can't remember
what it stands for.
It's business type stuff.
That's right.
And so I ended up doing this business club, right? And we signed up for this competition that we had to do. So we wrote a 20-page business plan, and it ended up taking first place in state. Wow. And then they sent us to California, where we took top 10 in the world, which was pretty cool.
Briefly, what was your business plan?
It was a paintball course.
Nice.
Yeah. We were going to market it to like police forces to have training and stuff, and make it like realistic, where you could change it from like a mall setting to a classroom setting or whatever. So that way, local law enforcement could train on it.
Yeah.
And then also just be a fun area to go hang out with your friends.
Go play.
Heck yeah.
Did you save that?
I don't know where it is, but I'm sure I could find the file somewhere.
That's something cool to, you know, look back
Jeff's
on.
Like, hook me up.
No. I want to go play paintball now.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I honestly wish I could take credit for it, but it was my partner's idea, and he was
the brainchild.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just ironed out some of the edges, but it was mostly him. So it was really cool.
You got in proximity of somebody.
Yep.
Yeah.
As things go, right?
Yeah.
So you left high school knowing exactly what you wanted to do when you grew up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I went to USU. I knew exactly that I wanted to be an engineer, right? But doing this whole business thing kind of threw me for a loop, because I was so determined before that I was going to be an engineer. I was going to be a mechanical engineer, and I was going to work on cool stuff. And then I did so well in this business stuff that it really
messed with you a little bit.
Now I don't know what I want.
Yeah.
Right? Cause I did good at it. I like it, but also
this is what I'm doing.
My whole high school career, if you will, was engineering. So put me in a crazy spot, right? Going right into college. Then college was crazy, right? Threw most of it away by just getting swept up and having fun.
There were some relationships happening, right? There was some fun happening. There was some life happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but share, because it's real.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I went in my first semester. I killed it. I got a 4.0 again, like I had been for the last 3 years in school or in high school, right? And then joined a fraternity, played around too hard, wasn't really doing what I was supposed to be doing, got in trouble a little bit. So I got 2 minor possessions of alcohol as a minor. So not off to a great start. And then I didn't get accepted into the engineering program.
Because he was having fun.
Having a lot of fun.
Yeah. Wasn't focused at the time.
Yes.
Not at all. And then, so I switched over to business, and then I switched over to whatever. I don't know. I ended up switching majors like 8 times in 2 years. So really had no direction, had no focus, didn't really know what I wanted.
And this all happened right after he went to class.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So I want to unpack your class for just a moment, because I know we skipped past it, but I want to unpack it for a moment. And because it really does play into how Caden keeps moving forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely took a tumble. Let's talk about your class for a moment. What did you learn? What did you experience? We don't have to talk about the class particularly. What did you learn about you? You know, what were some of the takeaways you had? What were you focused on when you left?
So actually class happened right in the middle of my college. So it was right after my first year, we came back, and then I went. So I wasn't 18. I must've been 19 going on 20 when I went.
Yeah. I think you were still 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I go to class, I come out, I was super invigorated. You know, I really wanted to pull my life and be driven. But the problem with that is if you have all this energy, but no direction, just goes everywhere, you know, like a bomb instead of an arrow. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what happened. I jumped around trying to do this thing and that thing and got overwhelmed. Try. Sorry. Yeah.
Doing all these things.
Yeah.
I was doing all these things and I just had no direction. I was putting a little bit of energy into everything instead of a lot of bit of energy into one thing, which at the time should have been school and focusing on
Education
and doing the one thing that I was up there to do, but I was pseudo trying to start a fashion line. I was meeting people. I was trying, or I was focused on being a part of my fraternity and being a good fraternity brother. I was focused on everything, but nothing at all at the same time.
What was your block in your class? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I'd still have my block. It's actually at my parents' house.
What was your biggest takeaway from that class in your mind?
Oh man, there's so much. But the one thing I do focus on a lot, even still today, is the Dash story.
Nice.
I think about that probably once a week.
Yeah. I love that.
It really puts me into perspective, but I ended up joining the Navy after college. I dropped out because I had
Travis. Was that partly because of Travis?
Yeah, I came home. I came home for winter break one time, and me and him sat down, and he just started telling me these stories, and I started thinking about it because right before that, I had looked at how much debt I had accumulated.
Yeah, already
going.
Because how old were you now?
19.
So. Yeah. So this is right after class. He's unloading.
Yep.
You know, it's scattered instead of a bullet. It's a shotgun. Yeah. Bomb.
Yeah. Yep.
And so dad, you know, bonus dad. Yeah.
So me and him are talking and he's not even trying to convince me. He's just telling me stories that, you know, he couldn't have told me when
you weren't that old.
Right.
Yeah.
So now I'm hearing all these stories, and I'm have on the back of my mind that I have all $10,000 in debt for a school program that is going nowhere because I'm not driven or
not focused. Yeah. Don't have clear direction.
I don't want to stay for another 4 years and keep accumulating debt for something that I don't even know what I want to do yet. So I dropped out and I joined the Navy.
Wow.
Which was a shock.
Yeah.
For everyone.
It was a shock. It was like, say what? I mean,
wow.
Impressed. Excited, you know, couldn't be more proud. And what?
Yeah.
It was a pretty impulsive decision, but I would say the best decision I ever made.
Where were you at? Yeah,
tell us about that career.
So I was what's called a fire control Aegis technician. I worked on radars that detect missiles and aircraft.
Very important.
It is. Yeah. It's a really cool job field to be in. So I go through boot camp, then I had to go through, couple months of training. So they broken up.
And he already had the projection down.
Yes. Yep. Love it.
So I go through basic, then I had to go through electronics training course. Then we had to go to our A school, which is like a basic school. And then I had to go to C school, which is more like specialization school.
Got it.
And so all that took me about 18 months. So because of the amount of schooling that we had to do, I actually had to sign a 6-year contract instead of a 4-year.
Oh, wow.
Then I got stationed on my first boat. Oh, all of that too. So I was in Great Lakes, Illinois, which is about an hour north of Chicago.
Yep.
For a good chunk of it. Then I went to Dahlgren, Virginia, which is about 45 minutes south of Washington, D.C. And then I went to my first boat, which is Norfolk, Virginia, which is Southern Virginia.
Wow.
And what was the first boat?
It was DDG 87, USS Mason.
Nice.
Yep.
Love Mason Proud always.
Yeah.
Mason Proud, like it.
Yep.
So you get on your first boat.
Yeah. And, at this time, I'm 22, 23-ish.
Nice.
Starting to get some actual responsibilities, right? Because this whole time before is like a little bit of college again, right?
Yeah.
But a lot more consequences if you don't do your stuff right.
Yeah.
So it was nice having the structure, made the some
accountability.
Of the best, yep.
Structure, accountability, focused. Direction, focus. Yep.
And then
discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's key.
All of that is definitely present. Then, and I made some of the greatest friends of my life. I mean, I still talk to them all the time. Then we I get to my boat and I start picking up leadership. So at this part, I'm an E4, make E5 shortly after, which is petty officer second class. Yep. And I start thinking about class a lot. And I start thinking about the leadership that we have on the boat a lot. And I keep going back to leadership breakthrough as I'm thinking about the things that they're doing and the things that I'm doing. So I'm being pretty critical in my judgment of leadership at this point. And a lot of the times I'm thinking how nice it would have been for some of my leaders to have gone through
a little leadership breakthrough. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd think that they get a lot more training in the leadership than they do. But it's unfortunate that they don't. And
but they're teaching you what not to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you have awareness of it already.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And then, but you see that too, right? I mean, I was a leader in my own right on the boat. Mm-hmm. And at by the time I left, I made E6. So I was a petty officer first class. So I had quite a bit of leadership under my belt. And you see all these young people who are coming up through the enlisted ranks who need that leadership, need the training on leadership, and kind of they've watched bad leadership and then emulate bad leadership when they take on those roles. Because they... the mentality of, well, I got it, so you, these junior guys get it too.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, but the whole time I've been out there, I thought about leadership a lot. You know, it was something that was on my mind all the time. Still is, even though I'm not in a leadership role now. And then, like I said, the dash, it's led me to do some pretty crazy things, if not for the story. Just because. Yeah.
Don't want to look back and say I didn't do it.
Yeah. When I've been presented with some opportunities that who knows what it would have been if I didn't do it, but who knows.
Well, we can talk about some of those. Yeah. Let's talk about some of them. But what was your big takeaway from serving? I'm sure it's more than one.
Yeah.
You shared some of the qualities, you know, characteristics that you got to learn and be a part of.
Yeah. I think being part of the service, it's in the name. You're providing service, right? And if that's just protecting the country and protecting what you have
next to you,
you know, I had somebody ask me one time why I was so chipper, why I loved being there, because I did. I just miss it every day, but they asked me why I loved it so much, and I just told them the truth, and I said, "It's cool that I get to be here. It's sad because I miss my family and my friends back home, but it's cool because I'm out here and I get to protect them at home to keep doing what they're doing. And if that's not service, I don't know what is."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So it was really cool to be out there to see. But then drives it home more. I remember we went to Jordan and we went and visited Petra. And when you're on the bus, you have a CIA or FBI agent. I don't remember which one, but they come on the boat or come on the bus with us and they're debriefing us. And they're telling us, do not give money to the locals. Like, don't do it. If you give money to those children, because they're going to set them up there and they're going to have you tell them, you know, buy this thing or buy that thing, the adults will steal the money from them.
Wow.
And they're setting them up there to like...
Get paid.
Scammed. Yeah. They're trying to scam you. And so we're walking up this trail and it's not a very wide trail. It's barely bigger than what you can walk, you know, spread your hands out. And that's about as far as you can go. So we're almost going up single line. And there's little alcoves up the way where these people have these stands. And you just see the way they're living and how horrible it is. Like, honestly, it's horrible. They have nothing. They're cooking like rotten fish and meat on these grills that they had to go fish out. And we went to Pakistan one time, and when we were going through the river to get to the port, the water was so polluted it was purple, and you just see dead fish everywhere.
Wow.
Just floating. And a lady was sitting there panning water out to go cook with, and you just think, like, man, as shitty as America can be sometimes, at least it's not this.
Yeah. It's really nice.
Yeah.
In perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. In relation to that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think about that. And you got to serve for 6 years.
Yep.
You got to see a lot of the world.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Which gave you an appreciation.
So much.
But it also helped clear your vision and increase your focus for what you wanted to do when you got home.
Yep. 100%.
One other question, you know, in those 6 years you focused on leadership. What would you say leadership is in your opinion?
Service.
Love it.
Those people that you're in charge of are not there to be your lackeys or to do whatever your whim is. You're there for them, right? Mm-hmm. You're providing for them. Everything you do should be to make their life and their job easier, not harder.
Any owners, any GMs, anybody in a leadership role, I love what you said. It's true. Yeah. Take care of your people.
Yep.
They'll take care of the customers.
Yep. They take care of each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very. I want to hear, because we went back to this, but you did a couple dash things that you alluded to. I want to hear about, because I didn't want to lose that. You said I did
these things. These are top secret.
Yeah. I want to hear the top secret things that you did on your dash.
I don't know. It's not top secret by any means. And not everything is super over the top, right? It's things like, I don't know, driving up to Milwaukee at 2 a.m. to go to a strip club.
Wow.
Or, you know, going out and going to a rooftop bar with an Arabian prince, because why not?
What?
Yeah, when we were in Dubai, we were hanging out in the bar lounge at the bottom, and a bunch of these guys come in wearing the robes. And I was just like, hey, man, what are you guys...
What are you guys doing? I don't know anything about this.
And they're like, yeah. And then we start talking and they're like, well, you want to come up to the top with us? And I was, sure, why not?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was cool. I don't know. There's so much stuff, and it's not all of it is extravagant. Sometimes it's just
the little things, you
going and talking to that girl that you thought was cute. Right.
And yeah.
That's a dash moment.
Absolutely.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, everybody wants to focus on the bucket list items, and they're great. Bucket list items are fantastic. It's a reward almost for, you know, living life to the fullest. But the most meaningful things in life are almost always the little things.
Oh yeah. Always the things, mundane things.
And the things that teach you, you know, like the woman going through for the water, you know, in the polluted water, it's like, it gave you a whole new appreciation for where you're from.
Yeah.
100. How fortunate you are.
And there's more stuff. Like, Pakistan is a crazy, crazy country. 10 out of 10 would never visit on, it's like a personal fun visit.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's,
I've got a friend that serves there on a regular basis. The youth there.
Yeah. I have no idea how you do it.
Yeah. He's a special man.
Yeah. That's pretty, pretty tough area for sure.
So your eyes are wide open at this point. You've just seen a lot.
I've seen a lot, but you know, it's always important to recognize that I know so very little of what's truly going on in any situation, you know?
Yeah.
That's what perspective has given me. It's just let me know that
I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Yep.
So 6 years out, how old are you then?
Oh man. I got out in 2021.
Okay.
So COVID.
But you'd have been 25, right? 26.
26.
26. 26. Okay. Yeah, 26.
Yep.
So you get out. What do you do then?
Come home.
Let's talk about leaving. Let's talk about
getting out. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
because there's a choice there.
Yeah.
You don't have to leave.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. They want you to stay.
They did, actually. Yeah. Big part of it was, they were offering reenlistment bonuses, and I had done the math. If I reenlist for 3 years and then reenlist again after that, I would get $135,000 tax free.
Wow.
But for whatever reason, they did not allow me to do that. So they allowed my junior guys to take their reenlistments, but they wouldn't let me do mine with the money. I could either reenlist and take no money, or not reenlist, essentially.
Mm.
So obviously I wasn't going to do that. Made me a little bitter about it. but that didn't stop me. I still loved what I did. I loved my guys. I loved every moment of being in the Navy. So I did it with as much conviction as I could muster throughout the rest of the time. It did. COVID made things really hard though.
Yeah.
At that time we had just come back from deployment. We were told that it was going to be regular, like 9 to 5s. So I ended up getting a puppy, and then I basically wasn't able to leave the boat for 3 months.
Oh,
and that made it really tough. They let me go home every day for an hour to feed my dog, my puppy, and walk him. But I had to stay on the boat for 3 months. And so that made me pretty sour at that time. So then I get out. They were really kind and fortunate enough too. I applied for this program. So I was able to go my last 6 months in the Navy. It was like a work program to go learn some skills. But because it was COVID, when I actually went to go do that work program, they told me just stay at home.
Yeah.
But then the Navy was also like, well, we already signed it, so you're good. So I just worked on my house for 6 months. But in that time frame, me and my longtime girlfriend broke up. She was on deployment and she emailed me. And then,
and how'd that feel?
Horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible. But then actually my really good friend who I met at team leadership, died in a car accident.
Oh my God.
His name was Bryce Platter. I don't know if you remember him. And then, another friend died from a car accident from my boat. Mm. And then another friend passed away from drug usage. And then my grandma passed away. And then a longtime friend passed away. And then another friend died.
Oh my gosh.
And then two committed suicide, all within that 1 year of me getting out of the Navy.
Wow.
So it was a very, very tough time for me.
It was a heavy year.
Yeah.
How'd you deal with it?
The good stuff. Not so good stuff.
You're obviously very resilient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cried a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Tough. Still, I can tell, like, still, obviously, you don't get over it. You don't get over that.
No. And I,
not at all.
No matter what anybody says, you're right. You never get over it. It comes in waves. And sometimes the waves, you know, with time, the waves become less and they still come, you know?
Yeah.
But it was hard. You know, I left the job that I loved to come do basically nothing and lost all of these really important people in my life. So it was pretty tough.
I mean, at this point you're holding up the mirror.
Yeah.
And you're looking at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
And who do you see?
Not someone I wanted to be. Made me feel like I needed, you know, as maybe as dumb as it sounds, it made me, especially on some of my friends who committed suicide, is like, could I have been a better friend? Mm-hmm. Should I have been there? Should I have been more
outgoing?
Should I have noticed?
More. Yeah.
You know, stuff like that really hit you. But then the accidents like Bryce, I still, you know, he invited me to come out here today and still driving over because I met him through leadership.
Wow.
I still, you know, I was thinking about him and it still doesn't feel real. Still doesn't.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the biggest things we talk about in class is tomorrow's promise to no one.
Yep.
And yet we so many of us show up every day thinking tomorrow's promised. And so we kind of blindly walk through the day and do good enough and, you know, go to bed and toss and turn and get up and do it all over again and get into this mundane, you know, daily routine. Realize not stopping to realize those people don't get to do that.
Nope.
Yeah.
And they're Bryce gone. He had just graduated. So he just got his master's degree. He was ready. He was like,
yep.
He was doing all this awesome stuff. So, it was tragic for him. Like life was just getting started. So it makes it hard, you know, and then, but again, to add perspective to it is now I feel like someone, when I'm going through life, I have to live a little harder for Bryce.
Yeah.
You know, and all those other people who don't get that opportunity, I can't take my life for granted. I can't not do those things just because I might be embarrassed. You know, I have to do the things that are going to make my dash moment somewhat in part for them too.
And it changes who you are, right? I mean, going through and experiencing that with all of, you know, your friends and people you were with, and it makes you look at the world externally in a whole different way now, doesn't it?
Oh, it's a complete metamorphosis of a person that I was before. You know, before that I had really only lost a couple of people here and there who I wasn't super, super close with. After a moment like that, though, you're everything.
Your empathy is different.
Yeah. Yeah. I went from being a person who never teared up or cried really ever to I could watch Lady and the Tramp and be bawling now.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
You're just a little softer, a little more sensitive.
Way more sensitive.
Speaking from experience.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Which is also good for the ladies. Yeah. You just got it punched in the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was tough to say the least. You know,
who'd you lean on?
Friends. I called friends constantly. Family, called them, took every moment in the car, every moment alone to just
reach out
and let people know I love them and that I'm, you know, here for them.
Were they worried about you?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I didn't always do it sober, so that's...
Yeah, you were a little bit inebriated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously people can tell, but they knew I was going through a hard time. And then I also started doing therapy, which is helpful for anybody out there who's thinking that therapy is not for them. Just give it a try.
Yeah. I mean, it's big. And I can tell you that from my perspective, I've got some wonderful friends in my life that, I mean, I think most of our phone calls are therapy. But I've also got a lot of friends that, I mean, that is just a part of their life to have that safe space to just share. Which is really why we do that in our classes. You remember doing that?
Yeah.
But it's important to just unpack, unload, get it off your chest, talk through it. You know, frame it and then reframe it.
And then let it go if you can, you know, like through breath work or any of that. It's good for you.
I've done a lot of meditation in the last couple of years and it's tough. It took me about 2 years before it really
started to sink in.
I had a lot of sleepless nights all through the Navy, all through college up until, you know, I got out. And obviously through everything that happened, a lot of sleepless nights there, but being able to meditate, being able to kind of just, I don't know, shepherd my thoughts, right? It's not about being thoughtless. It's about recognizing a thought and moving it along out of kind of in one ear, out the other is the way I think of it.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that helps. Now my girlfriend makes fun of me because I'll go to sleep in 5 seconds and she's up for 2 hours.
Yes. Yes. That's one of the definitions. One of my favorite definitions of success. Right, JJ?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, you wouldn't understand if you're somebody that doesn't have a problem sleeping, but man, if you can go to sleep like a baby, you're winning.
Yes.
So you work through this and the important part that we want to highlight is you just kept moving forward, right?
Yeah.
You were working through something and it's really, it's because you're working on what's next.
Yeah.
Because at this point, did you know what was next for you?
No, but I knew I was in the darkest point of my life ever. Mm. And I didn't want to keep it there.
Didn't want to stay there.
No.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to wallow and just stop. Sure. I had to take a knee, but I had to keep going.
Love it.
So
what did you do to refocus yourself? Like, what did you do besides was it just keep moving forward? Like just keep getting up and doing the help and the meditation and the, you know, getting help. All those things combined helped you work through, you know, the darkness.
I mean, it's hard. You have to refine and rediscover purpose. Mm-hmm. However you want to go about it. I tried doing school again, didn't really work for me at that moment. Got a job and that helps for me.
That was a little bit of purpose.
I find purpose in my work and, so having something to not necessarily distract me, but to keep me like my customers need me, my
My coworkers need me.
There's a common theme here because I asked them about the Navy.
Yep.
Service.
Yep.
Serving.
Yeah. For me, service is purpose.
Yeah.
Always. And so if I'm not doing something to be useful or helpful to somebody, then I mean, what am I here for?
Yeah.
There's so much I can give either in terms of financially when I'm able or in labor to help ease others' lives in so many ways. So there's never a shortage of anything that I can't be doing.
Yeah.
So you anchored in service and being part of your purpose.
Always.
And really expanding that purpose. Mm-hmm. So where did that lead you?
Well, it led me more down towards my career. Really digging my heels in there and learning my trade.
Because at this point is when we're coming out of COVID.
Yeah.
Like we're coming back to life as we knew it before.
Yeah.
Yep. Reestablishing friendships out here that I didn't think were lost, but had definitely been estranged. So reconnecting with people that I haven't really talked to in a long time, people who meant a lot to me, connecting with my family. I mean, I'd been gone for 6 years and that doesn't seem like much, but it was a lifetime for me, you know?
Well, it's definitely a large season.
Yeah.
You know, 6 years, especially at that age.
Yeah.
You know, from 20 to 26.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a big part of life.
Oh yeah. Huge.
Well, like when I left, my little brother was my little brother, you know, I don't even think he was in junior high. When I came home, he was 20 and 6'1".
Wow.
So
he was his little big brother.
Yeah.
Or big, no, excuse me, big little brother.
Big little brother.
Yeah. So that's how it goes. You know, like I came back and these people that I had grown up with and known, including Clayton, mm-hmm. like Abby and Emily, they weren't little kids anymore. They were adults. They were thinking. They weren't just running around being annoying. Now they were like, were putting words together into sentences and it was crazy, you know? Yeah. And I hadn't seen Clayton. I would see him every once in a while when I came home, but at that point in time, we're completely two different people.
Well, you're both focused in two different directions. Yeah. So it's simply just getting together to say hi.
Yeah.
But extremely focused in different directions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a total recalibration on top of everything, right? Like trying to rediscover your friendships here.
You were rediscovering your friendships.
Yes.
Yep.
Reconnecting
because we're all different people now. We were friends before, but we're not friends anymore. Right?
Yeah,
we are becoming friends again, and that discovery of rekindling those friendships was really purposeful for me.
And then that led you to more school,
right?
Let's talk what school, job, both of them going together. Let's talk about girlfriends.
Yeah,
yeah, all those things are awesome.
Yes.
Especially right now.
Yeah. So, I wanted to go to the University of Utah. Always been kind of a dream. I love the U,
Utes.
So I was doing my best to make that work.
Yeah.
I would take the train down there every day, go up. I chose a field that I thought I was pretty experienced in, computer science. That's what I did in the Navy for the most part. But it wasn't translating. I was finding no passion there. And it was really weird being a man in a room full of children. You know, these are 18-year-old kids. And I just felt really weird being there.
Yeah.
It was kind of tough. You know, I'm totally open to having safe spaces and stuff, but I was used to having 18-year-olds on my boat, like doing life and death situations. I mean, I remember doing a 25-foot sea or RAS, so replenishment at sea. And we had these giant boats that came up next to us and we would launch ropes over and pull these 4-inch fuel lines across 2 football fields and clip it in. And all the while the boats are going up and down. And it's 1 second you have a warehouse next to you and that you can see straight across, then it's above you, then it's way below you. And I'm having to stand at the lifelines to look over down at the crest just to see them underneath us essentially. And all the while you have these 18-year-old kids that are doing all the hard work and putting their life on the line. At that time when that had happened, actually one of the lines broke and I saw this buckle that was on a line whipped past this kid's head and took his helmet clean off. And had it been 2 inches more to his right, it would have
taken his head off.
Done.
Yeah.
Wow. And so I have these kids who are this, and then I go to school and I'm like, they're crying because they have to do homework, you know, a little extra of it. And it was tough. I'm not trying to, you know, take away from their experience, but we have two different
perspectives. Different spots in life.
You lived a different life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I couldn't do that, you know, listen to them whine. So I stopped doing that because I got this job at that same time. And again, I'm thinking, I don't really want to put my focus into a career field that I'm not
excited and passionate about. Yeah.
Right. So then I start doing this job. I get a house in South Ogden, and then,
which isn't exciting at all.
No, not at all. That's fun.
It's like roll through it. You know?
Yeah. It's awesome. I love my house. And then, started going back to school, going to Weber State. But man, I don't know how people have a full-time job and go to school. Really, that it gives me so much more respect for the people who can make that work, especially, you know, the trope of a single mom who's also going to school and holding two jobs. Like, how? I couldn't even hold down one job and go to school in person. So I had to drop out of Weber State. And then I went to now I'm going to an all online school called Western Governors University, and that made all the difference.
That's a very good school.
Highly recommend it. Yeah.
Wow.
It
is.
But now I'm going for accounting. So,
because that is so exciting.
Yes.
Dude, you just got me so excited that you're going
engineer,
to school. Yeah.
Accounting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Love accounting.
I don't know if you're being sarcastic.
No, I'm not. I love accounting. I don't want to do it. I love it though.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I love the tax side of it.
Oh, good for you.
Nice.
We're
not the same people, bro.
No.
If there's one part of accounting I don't like,
he reads the tax. That one.
Yeah.
I do actually.
Do you?
Yeah. It's fun.
You're going to be good then.
Yeah.
It's
great.
Cool. I like finding the, not loopholes, but you know, there's,
that's
stuff
what it's all about.
It, and it's fun. That's what it's there for. They're not trying to pull one over you.
Yeah,
it's there for you to see.
No, yes.
Man. We'll educate you. Anyways.
So I want to hear about
you.
You have a girlfriend. When did that come in?
Shortly after I started school at WGU.
Okay.
So I bought my house.
There was just a big transition.
Yeah, there's a lot happened in the last couple years.
So you know, doesn't work out at the U, doesn't give up.
Yeah.
Weber State, you know, again, just like change in approach. Don't like the results I'm getting. Going to change my approach. Going to go over here. And all the while, everybody is just so supportive. Nobody is going WTF.
Yeah.
Everybody's going WTF.
Everybody's going.
That's what I'm saying.
But they're also like,
they're like, you're going to get it. You're going to get it done. But everybody's still going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool too. When I told my dad that I was going for accounting, he was like, finally.
Like, nice.
You've known that's what you've wanted to do this whole time. I don't know why you've been pussyfooting around. You know? Just pick it already.
But you find a sense. So number one, how did the house come about? Because I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but this is a big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, people wait their entire lives, and you, this happens for you. You're not even 30 years old. I want to throw that out there. It's a big, big move.
I see where you're coming from. It feels like a big move. So I had moved home. I'd been home for about all of 6 months, and that's about as much as I could take. I love my family, but I need my own space.
Yeah. You're used to it.
I got my house. That's all there really is to it. I just looked and found it.
Found a home.
Yep.
In the right time to find a home too.
No, not at all. So this is actually my third house.
Good.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And so that's why it was kind of like it's a little bit more of a blip than a major life thing for me at this point. Benefits from the Navy, honestly, are
what helped you make it happen.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which you think about it. So you're driven. You know, your part of your why, your purpose is service. You've already served your country, which thank you.
Yes, thank you.
You don't give up. You know, your awareness is strong. And now you know what you want to do. So obviously it's like, boom, I know what I want to do. You know, girls just show up.
Yes. Is that what happened?
Not quite.
It was a life event.
You know, when I was in the Navy, I was a little bit more out there and having fun. But by this time coming home, I knew that I was ready to start settling down. So even though I was going out and I was meeting people.
You knew what you wanted.
I knew I wasn't going to settle for not the right person at that point. So took me a bit to find her. Fortunately, we met online. And hopefully by the time this airs, she won't be my girlfriend anymore, but my fiance.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
So
her name?
Lindsay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. She's honestly the coolest person in the world. I can't wait for you to meet her someday.
Excited.
I would love to send her to Leadership Breakthrough.
Well, let's do it. There's a JFDI. Class this weekend.
Yeah, JFDI. They're all the time. We'll make it happen.
Let's go. That's how you live your life. Let's go.
Hey, I am more than about it, but she is not an impulsive person.
We got to make a plan. And number one, it's got to be her idea.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, really proud of you. Really proud of you. I mean, when you start talking about those dark places, and I just think about it and go, I just don't know. Like, I know the answer, but I'm not in the dark place, right? Having the knowledge of what to do or how to do it. But until you're actually the person standing in that dark place, it's easy to say that.
Yeah.
But to actually work out of it and be the person that works out of it, works through it, keeps moving, you know, and lucky for you, you've had a lot of love and support. But you're in a wonderful place. And so, you know, really want to focus on the future. So what's next?
Yes.
So I'm planning to finish my degree, hopefully.
I'm looking for a commitment from you right now.
Yes. Okay.
Because if we're going to talk about engagements and stuff, we're moving into the hope from the hopefully and like twos and
level.
We're moving into level 10.
Like, don't this need is to, what's happening. Don't need to create any more WTFs.
No, yep. No more fair WTFs.
Enough. Fair enough.
Yeah. All
right. So I'm planning on proposing to Lindsay at the end of this month.
Wow. We're
going to Paris.
Oh my gosh.
Put that in your notes, Jeff.
Yes.
Make sure that it comes out. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll check in.
Yeah. We'll make sure that doesn't
happen. He's like, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to Paris and Amsterdam for my 30th. And then we're going to go out to the tulip fields and I'm going to do it then.
Dude. That's difference in being early 20s and being 30. You're the man.
And yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Honestly, I've been.
You got to videotape that.
Oh, yeah.
I have been waiting. I've been so excited to turn 30 because 30 is just, your 20s is just an overextension of being a teenager. You're dumb. you have all these plans, but you have no money
it. But when you mess up, it matters.
Yeah.
But when you mess up, it matters.
Now, once you start hitting your 30s and your 40s, it's like, why are people so afraid of this time frame? Because this is the coolest time frame. You get to do everything you want. You still have your knees and you have money to do it.
Yes.
Well done.
I love it.
Then I'm going to graduate with my bachelor's in accounting, pursue a master's in accounting to get my CPA.
Mm-hmm.
I did get a tentative offer to buy an accounting business.
Nice.
Nice.
So
that we'll see business how that turns entrepreneurship's out. Popping in there. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
My girlfriend loves it and hates it.
Yeah.
She's always like, that won't WTF, change. What's next? Every day I have a new plan, you know?
Yes.
And then continue service. Me and my girlfriend are setting up through the city to do a cleanup initiative around our neighborhood, to come out and clean every Saturday and go for a walk and just clean up for an hour. So that's our goal for this year.
Awesome.
Well done.
And then see where that leads us.
Yeah.
Kind of, we've been talking about also doing, volunteering for marathons. I'm a runner. I love running. So that'd be,
that's because you're built to run.
Yeah, I know. I'm built like a square box.
Yeah.
I love it. That's awesome. Great.
Yeah. Got to find, I mean, running, if you don't do it.
So let's talk the 5-year mark, JJ, like the 5-year, where do you see yourself 5 years
exactly.
Right now? Right now is the 30th, right?
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In a different house.
Yeah.
With one kid, maybe the second one on the way,
and all right,
big old rock on Lindsay's finger.
Nice. Yeah.
She agrees.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Good. Nice.
Yep. The plan is two kids, maybe three, how we're feeling. We got to try it out, right?
Not gonna, no. That's
right. You're not going to do any of it. You're going to do it.
So, and then is the master's degree in that window?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want
to. So have my CPA.
Yeah.
Regardless or not, if things work out with this guy buying it, I will start my own firm and go from there.
Perfect.
I want to do my own thing and have my own business. I don't really, as much as I love the Navy, the whole.
So here's your business plan. You know, you graduate, you go to work for him. You finish getting your degree.
Yep.
You know, your CPA. And at that point is when you hit the start button because you've already developed the relationships. You've already got the tenor and the experience. That's the business plan. I just wanted you to, just to have that when you walked out here.
Don't jump into a paintball
in case you didn't
business, you know.
That's what you're going to do. And then you just JFDI.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep. So... and with that too, with the CPA stuff, not only do I plan on doing the business, but again, service, I want to teach people. I want to help,
serve.
Yeah. Teach people about taxes and how to get the most of their money and do financial advising and, try to help or help.
Thank you.
Ooh, well done.
Help, going to underprivileged schools and communities and teaching them, you know, finances.
That's awesome.
So.
Yeah, again, bro, we're proud of you.
Personal finances.
So nice to meet you.
My passion in life, so.
We're excited. We'll check in. Make sure.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
That's all.
Respect, integrity, passion, personal power, leadership, enthusiasm. This has been the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth. To become part of the 3%, visit Building Utah Youth on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or on our website at buildingutahyouth.org.